and now our future family. Church in Africa as a family of God, its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Last week on Family, I was talking to Sister Helen Mwalye of the Little Sisters of St. Francis in Livingston, Zambia. We were discussing therapy, addiction, and help. We ran out of time and we thought we'd like to continue with our discussion this week. Sister Helen, you have worked as a counselor in the United Kingdom, in the UK. You have taught there as well. You have worked in Zambia, in the capital city of Lusaka, Zambia. And now you are in the tourist city of Livingston, which is your home. And you spoke earlier and you spoke about a project that you are trying to work on, a counseling center. Tell us something about this counseling center that under the Diocese of Livingston you are trying to establish.
I've talked about it because when I came here, this is indeed the tourist center. And I discovered there are so many lodges in Livingston itself. So, as it is, Livingston is bordering other countries. We are at the border of Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Namibia. Going beyond, you can go to South Africa through Namibia. So when I came here, I discovered all these people on transit to these other countries, they need counseling. Being a tourist capital, of course, one that brings a lot of income is alcohol. So it is on high demand. And when I came, and even up to now, in the street alleys, there are certain places, one day I didn't know, but I was led to this place. It's just like a small door in a shop. I was looking for something in that shop. I was looking for shoes. And then I saw somebody going in, coming out. And then the other person who came out, totally drunk. So when I tried to follow it up, I was told that, oh, you don't know what lies beyond. That's where people go and drink. But even during the day, you still see people drinking. Why? Because of tourism. So it brings all sorts of people coming in. Of course, you can't run a lodge minus having alcohol. So it was overwhelming that I just said, even while I was in Lusaka, when they heard that I was coming here, people were already telling me, please, may I have a problem with my son? May I have a problem with my nephew? What and what? So I found there were clients already when I came. But where would I see them? So we have not a home per se, but a residential place which we had opened as a congregation for disabled children. And we opened that because, again, disabled children were neglected in our diocese. So when we built up this, we were lucky that the structures have a hall. And this hall, we use it for our children. You know, for example, dance therapy, some lectures for our children. And then I could use it, for example, maybe I may have 10 clients going through Action for Change. And it's a program where you say you can't interrupt halfway. So I found that it was like a conflict of our apostolate as a congregation, because if the children needed that, I couldn't come in and say, no, I have to run this program. So eventually, because of the need which we saw, we decided to take one of our convents. Because of shortage of vocations, we had gone down we had abandoned it. And we were just putting it on rent. And then we decided that we could use this convent and rehabilitate it so that we could make it a counseling center. So far, we were lucky through well-wishers and asking here and there. We have managed to put an extension to that convent, an extension of a hall where we can have lectures and a chapel. And then what we have done is we have started now repainting the main building. And right behind, we have also a plan of putting four rooms where we are going to be seeing individuals on one-to-one basis. But the funds are slow coming in comparison to the people demanding it. And on top of that, we are still seeing it, people struggling with their problems. So we decided to make people aware of the availability of counseling. So we started off with programs on our radio station here in Livingston Diocese, Maria Musiotunya Radio. So every Monday we are on air for 1.5 hours from 10 to 11:30. People are responding, but they still need one-to-one basis. So far I have been seeing people as individuals coming to our home, for Cheshire Home for Disabled Children. But you still feel, I wish we could have our premises. So an appeal is if we could have well-wishers continue and other means of bringing in funding so that this whole structure can be transformed into a home of healing and transformation. I'm calling it healing because I believe the mind needs healing. It carries so much. And apart from that, science itself has done a lot physically. We have really advanced. But when it comes to the psyche, the psychological, the mind of a human being, the whole world is still not as fast as the medical side. So I would refer to an iceberg, which I think us who have gone to school are aware of what an iceberg is. What you see on top above the water, the tip, is nothing in comparison to what is down, and that's the way the mind is.
Sister Helen, you have said about your challenges, and indeed we hope you will receive the helping hand to put up this structure because of the need. And you also said a lot of people in this society need healing because of many childhood traumas that we all go through. Do we have enough counselors in this country, or people who are going to, because it's a very specialized kind of area, and I don't know of many psychologists that I can count on my finger around here who are doing this kind of thing that you are already doing, marvelous work that you are doing in Livingston?
Unfortunately, we don't have many. And it's a profession which people are saying is young. It's in its babyhood. We don't have enough trained counselors. And unfortunately, because we don't understand it, we undermine or underestimate what counseling is all about. Because you can hear people even saying, that one, send her or him for counseling. They look down on counseling. As somebody, if you go for counseling, it means there is a nut which is loose. Or they feel you are incorrigible. That in itself makes people shun counseling. Oh, that one, send him for counseling. And from the African aspect, counseling is giving advice. That's what I've learned. Counsel him. Counsel her. No. Counseling involves compassion, understanding, non-judgmental, non-condemnation of the person who comes in. The person needs that understanding, needs to feel an atmosphere where they are accepted as they are, just like the way God will accept us as we are. So we don't have enough counselors. I know at the university level, they have opened up a branch there which is growing. But in comparison with the need, we don't have many. And since I came to Livingstone, the committee that I have, or the board members, have embarked on training them. At least I took six of them through a program of Action for Change to equip them so that, you know, we are together. And luckily enough, as a congregation, we started sending sisters, our own sisters, to UK to get a diploma in counseling. So I would say maybe about eight of us are trained. They have diplomas in counseling, but it doesn't outweigh the amount of people that need counseling. As I said earlier, on every human being needs counseling. You need to go to somebody where you can feel open enough to say, hey, this is my struggle.
Anything else that you would like to share before we close that we might have left out?
I can't help being Zambian. I can't help being African. We also, after counseling people in the UK, after lecturing even in the UK and coming here back to Zambia, I just found I had to do a lot of adaptations as regards to the difference I found with the people in the UK and my own people. Why? Because of our traditions, our cultural values. We can't run away from the fact of witchcraft. People will come in, no, sister, I have gone to such and such a witch doctor. They have said it is so and so who is bewitching my child. I have gone to this and this. Then we have also other people who are trying to con people, getting money. So I had to go through knowing how do people shoulder this thing.
Our guest today was Sister Helen Mwalye, Little Sisters of St. Francis in Livingstone, Zambia.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasomo.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, Pope Leo XVI concludes the Youth Jubilee at Rome's Tor Vergata Arena. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to the family. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Together with 20 cardinals, 450 bishops and 7,000 priests, Pope Leo XVI on Sunday morning celebrated the concluding Mass of the 30th July to 3rd August Youth Jubilee. Over 1 million young people from all over the world were sitting around the Holy Father as they waited to hear him share the wisdom of the gospel with them. Good morning and happy Sunday, the Pope said as he began the Mass. Then immediately he reminded the young people gathered at Tor Vergata Arena on the outskirts of Rome of the events of the day before on Saturday and said he hoped that all of them had rested a little bit. The Holy Father then went on to say that shortly they would begin the greatest celebration that Christ left us, his very presence in the Eucharist. Dear young people, Pope Leo went on after a short pause, after last night's prayer vigil, We gather again today to celebrate the Eucharist, the sacrament of the Lord's total gift of himself to us. The Pope then made a reference to the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as recounted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. We can imagine ourselves today retracing the journey made on Easter evening by the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, they set out from Jerusalem frightened and disappointed, convinced that after the death of Jesus, there was nothing more to expect, nothing in which to place their hope. But they later found him along the way, welcomed him as a traveling companion, listened to him as he explained the scriptures, and then recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Their eyes were opened, and the joyful news of Easter found a place in their hearts, the Pope said. Deborah Lubav gives us a brief account of the Holy Father's homily.
Jesus is our hope. Adventure with him throughout your life and let him enlighten you. Pope Leo XIV expressed this during the Mass for the Jubilee of Young People at Tor Vergata in Rome on Sunday morning.
La nostra speranza è Gesù.
The Holy Father acknowledged today's liturgy invites us to reflect on the encounter with the Risen One, who transforms our lives and enlightens our affections, desires, and thoughts. Pope Leo said, let us turn this thirst for something greater and more meaningful into a type of step stool, he noted, like children who stand on tiptoe in order to peer through the window of encounter with God. We will then find ourselves before him who is waiting for us, knocking gently on the window of our soul. Pope Leo said, it is truly beautiful, especially at a young age, to open wide your hearts and allow him to enter and to set out on this adventure with God toward eternity. St. Augustine, reflecting on his intense search for God, the Pope recalled, asked himself, what then is the object of our hope? He is your hope. In recent days, the Pope remembered they had many beautiful experiences.
And received God's forgiveness, asking for his help to live a good life.
And through all of it can grasp an important point, that the fullness of our existence does not depend on what we store up, or, as we heard in the Gospel, what we possess, but rather has to do with what we joyfully welcome and share, and focusing on the things that are above.
Guardare in alto alle cose di lassù.
He told the young people, Jesus is our hope. It is he, as St. John Paul II said, who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives.
Aspirate a cose grandi, alla santità, ovunque siate.
Aspire to great things, to holiness, wherever you are. Do not settle for less.
Non accontentatevi di meno.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubav.
At the end of the Eucharistic celebration to mark the end of the Youth Jubilee, Pope Leo led all the faithful present in the recitation of the midday Marian Angelus prayer. In his remarks just before the Angelus, the Pope thanked the crowd of young people who had come from all over the world to participate in the Jubilee. He said it had been a cascade of grace for the Church and for the whole world, and I want to thank you one by one with all my heart. He also sent a message of hope to the youth of Ukraine and Gaza, saying, we are with the young people of Gaza, with the young people of Ukraine and of every land blooded by war. You are the sign, he continued, that another world is possible, a world of friendship in which conflicts are not resolved with weapons, but with dialogue. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Recalling the Old and New Testament readings of today's liturgy on the theme of hospitality, as shown by Abraham and his wife Sarah, and then later by the friends of Jesus, Martha and Mary, the Pope reflected on the interplay of giving and receiving hospitality.
Ci vuole umiltà, sia ospitare, sia farsi ospitare.
Kindness, attentiveness, and openness are part of what hospitality is about. But so too, and especially, is humility. Pope noted, and he recalled how the Gospel reading recounts how Martha is overwhelmed with serving, being the good and generous person she was, but she risked missing out on the joy of the encounter, being with the Lord and hearing his words. So attentiveness has importance, as our lives can only flourish if we learn to be open to something greater than ourselves, the Pope said. and that brings happiness and fulfillment. And Mary, Martha's sister, recognized the importance of that encounter in not only welcoming, but listening to the Lord.
Maria ha come perso il senso del tempo, conquistata.
In conclusion, the Pope encouraged us to follow Mary's example by slowing down and listening so that we do not fail to choose the better part. And we can always improve on our learning the art of hospitality, he suggested. And this includes both welcoming others and allowing ourselves to be welcomed, since we have much to receive and not only to give. He said it's about recognizing how every genuine encounter is freely offered, whether it's an encounter with God, with others, or with nature.
Preghiamo Maria Santissima, Madre accogliente.
He said, let us pray then to Mary Most Holy, our Mother, who welcomed our Lord, bore him in her womb, and together with Joseph, gave him a home. And he said, in her we see the beauty of our own vocation, the vocation of the Church, to be a home open to all, and in this way to welcome her Lord, who knocks at our door and asks our permission to enter. And that is Jones.
On Saturday evening, Pope Leo XVI joined the 1,000-plus young pilgrims for vigil prayers at Rome's Tor Vergata field, a few kilometers southeast of Rome. The Pope arrived by helicopter at the venue, the same place that was used for the World Youth Day celebration hosted by Rome 25 years ago. The overjoyed young people welcomed the Pope to the arena with cheers and waving flags. And as he got out of the Pope mobile, the Holy Father was handed the large Jubilee cross, which he carried to the main altar, accompanied by dozens of young people. As soon as the Pope settled down for the vigil encounter and following some prayers, the Pope engaged in a dialogue with several young people who asked him three questions. The first one came from 23-year-old Dulce Maria from Mexico, who spoke of the excitement of online friendship, but also of the loneliness that comes from connections that are not true and lasting relationships, but rather fleeting and often illusory. Then she asked the Holy Father, how can we find true friendship and genuine love that will lead us to true hope? How can faith help us build our future? Pope Leo acknowledged the potential of the internet and social media as an extraordinary opportunity for dialogue, but he warned that these tools are misleading when they are controlled by commercialism and interests that fragment our relationships. Drawing from his Augustinian spirituality, Pope Leo urged young people to emulate Saint Augustine, who had a restless youth, but he did not settle for less. How did he find true friendship and a love capable of giving hope? Pope Leo asked, and he explained that it was by finding the one who was already looking for him, Jesus Christ. He said further that Augustine built his future by following the one who had always been his friend, Jesus. The second question was from Gaia, a 19-year-old woman from Italy, who wanted to know how young people can find the courage to make choices amid uncertainty. To choose is a fundamental human act, the Pope responded. When we make a choice, in the strict sense, we decide who we want to become. Then he encouraged young people to remember they were chosen by God and that the courage to choose comes from love, which God shows us in Christ. The Pope then recalled the words of St. John Paul II, spoken in the same place 25 years ago, reminding the youth that it is Jesus, in fact, that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. The Pope recalled radical, meaningful choices, such as marriage, priesthood, and religious life, the free and liberating gift of self that makes us truly happy. These choices give meaning to our lives, transforming them into the image of the perfect love that created them and redeemed them from all evil, even from death, he said. Departing from his prepared remarks, Pope Leo XIV expressed condolences for the deaths of two pilgrims, Pascale Rafiki, an 18-year-old pilgrim from Egypt who died due to a heart condition. Earlier in the day, the Pope met with a group of Egyptian youth with whom Rafiki traveled to Rome. Maria Cabo Vergara, a 20-year-old pilgrim from Madrid in Spain, died on July 30th. While the cause of death was not mentioned in a statement published on August 1st, the Archdiocese of Madrid said the young pilgrim suffered 4 years of illness Both pilgrims chose to come to Rome for the Jubilee of Youth, and death has taken them in these days, the Pope said at the vigil. Let us pray together for them. 20-year-old Will, a young pilgrim from the United States, asked the third and last question, and it was about how to truly encounter the risen Lord in our lives and be sure of his presence even in the midst of trials and uncertainties. Recalling the paper book of Pope Francis for the whole year 2025, Spes non confundit, hope does not disappoint. Pope Leo said that hope dwells as the desire and expectation of good things to come, and that one's understanding of good reflects how our conscience has been shaped by the people in our lives. Then Pope Leo urged the youth to foster their conscience by listening to the word of Jesus and to reflect on their way of living and seek justice in order to build a more humane world. The Holy Father also invited young people to pray and to remain friends with Jesus and be a companion on the journey for anyone that we meet. Through praying these words, our dialogue will continue each time we look at the crucified Lord, for our hearts will be united in him, the Pope concluded. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.